First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for putting together such a wonderful conference and for giving me an opportunity to present this talk. I will discuss the work which we did in collaboration with Hai Lin, who is a student at Princeton University, and Juan Maldacena. So before I go and discuss ADS-CFT correspondence for hard BPS states, I want to give a brief introduction of why we should care about them, and in particular, how the hard BPS states could teach us something about QCD. So I'm not going to discuss QCD per se, but I just want to make a brief reminder how one should think about breaking supersymmetry in ADS-CFT. So ADS-CFT itself is a duality between strings on the ADS-5 crosses 5 background and n equal to 4 supersymmetric Young Mills. So if you want to understand some symmetries like theories like QCD, which have fewer supersymmetries, we would want to break some symmetries of ADS-5 crosses 5. We would want to break supersymmetries, and we want to break conformal symmetry. So how could we do it? In field theory, we could do it by modifying theory somehow, and in particular, we could add some kind of superpotential to the theory to bring it to n equal to 1 or even to n equal to 0. On the gravity side, the duals of these less supersymmetric theories would be some solutions which have less symmetry than ADS-5 crosses 5 itself. And there was some progress in understanding such less supersymmetric background. These are only early work on the subjects, and of course, this is a very interesting and important subject to find such solutions which are due to less supersymmetric theories. So if you find such solution, then what we would have is some gravity solution which corresponds to a vacuum of field theory with fewer supersymmetries and fewer symmetries in general. This part says that it's very important to understand backgrounds which have less supersymmetry than ADS-5 crosses 5. However, such backgrounds arise in a slightly different way as well, and this is what I'm going to discuss in this talk. So what we want to do is we want to start from n equal to 4 super Young Mills and do not make any change to the Lagrangian. But instead, what we want to do is to consider some states in this n equal to 4 super Young Mills. These states would not have as much symmetry as the vacuum itself, so they will break some supersymmetries, and thus the solutions which we find on the gravity side should also have less supersymmetries than the original ADS-5 crosses 5 solution. Even though I'm not going to change field theory in any way, I just want to consider some field theoretic states. I want to stress that the method which we will be discussing will be very useful for understanding less supersymmetric field theories as well, because once we know how to construct gravity solutions with fewer supersymmetries, we could apply them to constructing more realistic field theories. So So the gravity solutions which we are going to find would be dual to various states in n equal to 4 super symmetric Young Mills theory. Also, if you're looking for states which preserve some supersymmetries, then according to ADS-CFT language, we expect that such states will be described completely in terms of the supergravity approximation. And as according to usual ADS-CFT prescription, if we put some state on the boundary, then we should look for some solution inside which is regular. So it should not have any singularities inside. If we have some state which is not supersymmetric, then in general some stringy modes could be excited. But since we're looking at highly supersymmetric states in the n equal to 4 super Young Mills, we expect that only gravity modes are excited. So we should look for solutions which are regular in the gravity itself. We should not introduce, we should not expect any stringy corrections. So what we are looking for are solutions which preserve less symmetry than ADS-5 crosses 5 and which do not have any horizons or singularities. So after this brief introduction, let me give an outline of my talk. So as I already mentioned, the goal would be to discuss the gravity duals of hard BPS states in n equal to 4 super Young Mills. And the introduction, I will briefly discuss some of the properties of these half BPS states in the field theory. In particular, I will discuss a very interesting relation, a description of these half BPS states in terms of Fermi liquid. Then I will proceed and I will discuss our techniques for constructing gravity solutions which are dual to such KVPS states. Then we will apply this technique to type 2B supergravity, and in type 2B supergravity we will see that one can describe all half BPS solutions on the supergravity side. And all these supergravity solutions will be characterized in terms of the single function which satisfies very simple Laplace equation in three dimensions. So because this is a Laplace equation, we can solve it completely, and also specifying half BPS states in the field theory would correspond to choosing some particular boundary conditions for this Laplace equation. So for each half BPS states in the field theory, we would be able to find a unique unique supergravity solution which is completely regular. Then if I will have time, I will also briefly mention that the similar exercise could be repeated for 11-dimensional supergravity, and again everything will be described in terms of the single function, which now solves a slightly more complicated equation, which is called Toda equation. Again, we know the equation, we know the boundary conditions which should be imposed on this equation. Unfortunately, we cannot present solution in such explicit form as in type 2B case. And finally, I will summarize. So, let me briefly discuss what do we expect to see on the field theory side before I proceed with gravity analysis. So, on a field theory side, we are looking at n equal to 4 super Young-Mills theory, which is defined on S product of three-dimensional sphere and and R, which is just time direction. Then all chiral primaries of such theories, namely all half BPS states in such theories, could be described in the following way. So n equal to 4 super Young-Mills theory has six adjoint scalars. Let's call them phi 1, phi 2, up to phi 6. Then in order to construct half BPS states, we should take a linear combination of first two of those scalars, let's call it Z, and Z is n by n matrix where n is a number which characterizes your n gauge group. And out of this Z, we construct various products of traces like that. So all half BPS states are either states like this or some SO6 rotations of states like this. This basis might not be good for various purposes. For example, it's not orthonormal, but it's good enough in order to determine what symmetry do we expect on the Young-Mills side. In particular, as we can see, constructing such state, we use only zero mode on this S3, so the S3 symmetry would be still unbroken. Also, we had six fields, phi 1 to phi 6, and we used only two of them in order to construct the state. So since the other four fields are not used in this construction, we still have remaining symmetry which rotates those four fields. And this is this SO4 which I have here. Of course, this is just a strange way of saying that symmetry should be SO4 cross SO4. I just wanted to stress that this sphere comes from here. So this is information which we will need in order to construct supergravity solution, because the dual of such states should have the same symmetry as states themselves. Also, recently there was a very nice description of this state proposed by David Bernstein earlier this year, where he described this half BPS state in terms of the some harmonic oscillator. The description goes as follows. Suppose we look at only at states like this, which are zero modes on S3 and constructed only out of field Z. Then the action for n equal to 4 super Young-Mills on such fields reduces to a very simple form. So dt is a covariant derivative which uses gauge field, but the gauge field itself is not dynamical. So this looks like just a set of harmonic oscillators, matrix harmonic. This looks like a matrix harmonic oscillator with matrix Z, and this harmonic term comes from the fact that we have super Young-Mills theory defined on the sphere rather than on R3. So then we have this conformal coupling to gravity. So this action describes harmonic oscillator. One can view it either as a set of scalar harmonic oscillators, or which is there is another description which will be more useful for our purposes. One can go to so-called eigenvalue basis. To go to eigenvalue basis, one basically uses a gauge transformation in order to diagonalize this matrix Z. Once we diagonalize this matrix, we will have just a set of harmonic oscillators which are eigenvalues of this matrix Z, which do not interact with each other. However, in the quantum theory, there would be also some measure, other factor coming from the measure, and in this simple combination, it's very well known that the factor which comes from the measure is just the van der Moen determinant, which essentially make these eigenvalues fermionic rather than bosonic. So in the end, we will have some system of free fermions, which do not interact with each other and which live in the harmonic oscillator potential. Then we can consider a phase space of this harmonic oscillator, and so this lambda is a given eigenvalue, and p lambda is a momentum corresponding to this eigenvalue. And these fermions would form some droplets in this in this phase space. Because it's fermion, we cannot put more than one fermion in the element of the phase space, so this would be some kind of incompressible liquid. This is a very important picture, and later on we will see that it has direct translation to the gravity side. So our goal would be to construct the gravity solutions which correspond to all these half BPS states. Before we do this, I should mention that there are some things which we already know. In particular, suppose we take states which with conformal weight, with low conformal weight. So this would be states like this, where all these numbers n1 to nk is much less than n, capital N. Then for such light states, we know that on the field theory, this basis of traces is now a good orthonormal basis. Also, in this picture of Fermi liquid, the states are described by just some small ripples on the surface of Fermi C. So we put just some ripple and it propagates. And this is what we saw. Example of this we saw in the previous talk, where the harmonic potential was exactly this harmonic potential. On the string theory side, these states are just some perturbative states, and they will be described by some perturbations of EDS5 cross S5 supergravity solution. So we know all about these states. Also, there are some other states which we know something about, and these states are brains on EDS5 cross S5. It's known that on EDS5 cross S5 we don't have flat brains, but instead we have the brains which have a topology of the sphere. And these brains are known as giant gravitons, which could expand either on S3, which is part of EDS space, or on another S3, which is a part of a five-dimensional sphere. And in the brain prop approximation, we know what these giant gravitons are, and these are the half BPS states. Also, on the field theory side, we all know something about them. Namely, we know that if we excite only a single giant graviton, then it corresponds to exciting the matrix Z like that. So in the large N limit, these parts are not important, and we're essentially exciting only a single eigenvalue eta. So in the picture of Fermi droplet, which I was drawing before, we will have some basic Fermi droplet, which give us ADS cross S space. And this I have not proven yet. I will show it a little bit later. But from this piece, we know that if we want to excite some giant graviton, then we essentially just put some eigenvalue far away from the center in the phase space. So this for supersymmetric brains, we know their description only in the brain prop approximation. But if we put many of such brains together, we should take into account gravitational back reaction. Just in the case if we put many D3 brains together in the flat space, we produce ADS cross S. So our goal is to construct the exact solution of supergravity equations, which describe these states, these brains, and they would also describe many more states. And before I go and describe them, I should also say that in the M-theory case, we know the analogous giant gravitons. And for example, in ADS7 cross S4, the giant gravitons would have symmetry, which is S5 cross S2. I will recall this information when we go to M-theory case. So now, what do we want to do? We want to construct solutions which are dual to these half BPS field theories, half BPS states in the field theory. So then we have to impose following assumption. Bosonic symmetries should be consistent with symmetries which we had for these BPS states in the field theory. And the symmetry, as I already mentioned, was SO4 cross SO4. Previously, I called it S3 cross SO4, but this is the same thing. Now, the bosonic fields which we want to excite is just a metric and five-form field strength. And also, we are not looking just for solutions of Einstein's equations, we are looking for supersymmetric solutions. So we are solving the equation for Killing spinners like that. So we assume that our manifold admits a Killing spinner. Now we could just... So these are the only assumptions which are used in order to construct solution locally. Because we have S4 cross S4, which is the same as S3 cross S3, we could just do dimensional reduction on this manifold. And in the end, we produce some four-dimensional system, which has metric, it has two gauge fields, and also it has two scalars. And in this effective four-dimensional system, we are looking for some supersymmetric backgrounds. Fortunately, there were very powerful method developed over the last few years by various people who provided a good way of analyzing backgrounds with some supersymmetries. So the basic idea is that if background admits some killing vector, one could also one doesn't necessarily have to solve equations for this killing spinner, but this killing spinner can be used in order to find just the bosonic part of the metric. Just an illustration how it works is the following. So if we have some killing spinner epsilon, we can construct various bilinears of this killing spinner. So these are just two bilinears which I want to construct. I remind you that now we're working in four dimensions since we already reduced on S3 cross S3. So we have four gamma matrices, but we also have gamma 5, and we can construct these two vectors. So for any spinner epsilon, these two vectors satisfy these relations just because of Fields identities. But now, if this epsilon is not just arbitrary spinner, but spinner which satisfies killing equation, these vectors actually have some additional properties. Namely, if you construct form L mu dx mu, then this form will be exact. And also, this vector k would satisfy the equation for a killing vector. So this is a very useful information because once we have this form L which is exact, we can just use one of the directions in our manifold, let's call it y, along this direction. So we construct exact form and then we just write that it's equal to dy. Also, k is a killing vector, so we can choose some direction t which is along this killing vector. And so only these two existence of these two vectors together with these Fields identities guarantees us that six-dimensional metric will four-dimensional metric takes this form. So x1 and x2 are still some completely arbitrary coordinates, and this function h and h tilde, as well as vector field v, now depend on direction y and direction x. But they do not depend on t because t is a killing vector. So this is just an illustration how this procedure works, but of course there are many more bilinears than these two, and by the time we analyze all of them, we can determine solution, all of them restrict solution quite severely. So, okay, so this is kind of complicated transparency. So the only thing which I want to mention is that we know the metric and we know the five form field strengths quite explicitly, and everything is parameterized in terms of the single function z. So this formula is just to show that any function which you see here can be traced in terms of this function z. And this function z itself satisfies very simple linear equation like this, which will be actually Laplace equation. But before, so this is all that we can extract from the local analysis. We did not use any global properties so far. However, now we have to input some additional constraints. Because, as I said, we're expecting that the geometries which we construct would not have any singularities. However, this matrix generically, if you take a completely general solution of this equation, this metric will have some singularities. And we should impose some conditions to avoid these singularities. So let me concentrate on this metric for a moment. We see that this metric has these two three-dimensional spheres on which we did reduction. And there is also a very nice property that if we take radius of one sphere and we multiply by the radius of another sphere, then this function g drops out of the relation. So the product of these two radii is equal to y. And then we see that where the potential singularities could be. Because if we have some sphere which goes to the zero size, we should worry since at that point the space could develop singularities. And the first thing to look at are the this surface where y equal to zero and try to avoid singularities there. And as I will show that once we avoid singularities at the places where y equal to zero, we avoid singularities everywhere. So just to stress what we had on the previous summarize what we had on the previous transparency, we have reduced the entire, locally we have reduced the complete problem to solving one a linear equation, and it appears to be a six-dimensional Laplace equation after we do such simple change of coordinates. And also, so this determines solution completely locally. However, from the regularity, we should impose also some conditions at y equal to zero. So at y equal to zero, suppose this sphere omega 3 tilde shrinks to zero size. So if it goes to zero size, then the only way for the space to stay regular if this sphere somehow combines with y direction to give us a flat four-dimensional space here. And this happens only if this function z, which I had here, takes value plus a half at this point. On the other hand, at y equal to zero, I remind you, either one of the spheres have to go to the zero size. So if this sphere goes to zero size, then z has to be plus a half. If another sphere goes to the zero size, then z has to be minus a half. And these are the only values which are allowed at y equal to zero plane. So then we will see that entire y equal to zero plane will be separated in two kinds of region, this green region and white region. In the white region, the z function is equal to plus a half, and in the green region, it's equal to minus a half. And no other values are allowed if you want to construct regular solutions. Now we see that this picture looks very familiar because, as I was showing a few transparencies ago, this is the way the phase space of the harmonic oscillator looks like. So then one can think that these two spaces arise in the same problem and they look the same, so they must be the same. And in the next transparency, I will present some evidence that indeed y equal to zero plane should be identified with the phase space of harmonic oscillator. So, but before we try to do any general analysis, let us look at the examples which also confirm these expectations. So, and the simplest example of half BPS state is a state which is completely BPS, namely ADS5 crosses 5. So ADS5 crosses 5 we usually write in the global coordinates, for example. And our coordinates are not the usual global coordinates. But by the time we do translation to our coordinates, we will see that ADS5 crosses 5 looks extremely nice. It looks just like a circle where z equals to minus a half inside and plus a half outside. So this is consistent with the identification with phase space of harmonic oscillator, which I was showing before, because ADS5 crosses 5 is a ground state in half BPS sector. On the other hand, if you have a harmonic oscillator which has n fermions in it, this is precisely how you expect the ground state to look like. If you put a circle in the center of the phase space, it will have minimal possible energy. Now, we can also look at various other states. For example, suppose we try to deform this circle like that. From the gravity side, it will be described by some perturbative gravitons which we put on the field, perturbative gravitons which we put on ADS5 crosses 5 background. But from the point of view of harmonic oscillator, it also corresponds to some perturbative state on the Young-Mills side. So this is the kind of state which we already know how to describe, and we see that this map. Those states also confirm our map. There are also these other states which I mentioned, which were D3 brains, curved D3 brains on ADS5 crosses 5. And there were two kinds of these brains. There were these brains which were inside ADS, or the brains which were inside five-dimensional space. So as was shown by David Berenstein, for the case of a harmonic oscillator, the brains which expand, giant gravitons which expand on ADS, should be described by some small droplets of fermions which are far away from the big droplet. So here I didn't put it far away, but this distance should be really very high. On the other hand, the giant gravitons which expand on the sphere should be some holes which you introduce in this big droplet like that. So this is the first consistency check, of course, is that the giants expanding on ADS could have arbitrary radius, and indeed we could put this droplet as far as we want. On the other hand, the droplets, the brains which expand on the sphere can go can have only radius as big as the radius of the sphere itself, and we see that this droplet, for example, cannot go below the center of the sphere, because then it will be coming back from the other side. And analyzing our solutions, we can see that if you put indeed very small droplets, then the solution would look almost everywhere like ADS cross S, but it will have some delta-like sources. And delta-like sources would be located precisely where you expect the giant gravitons to be located. So we also know a few other examples. For example, the PPWave background. And normally, you get PPWave background from ETS5 crosses 5 by taking a Penrose limit. Here, PPWave also arises as some kind of limit. And to get to this limit, what we should do is we should look near some point on this circle, and we should zoom in near this point. So when we do such zooming in, then instead of a circle, we will have just half plane. So here, there are no real boundaries. This is just a half plane, which is filled below this point, and it's not filled above this point. And this is this indeed corresponds to PPWave geometry. We have an explicit function. And we can also consider various excitations of the PPWave. I should also say that in most cases, except for these two simplest cases, I'm just drawing the pictures. But in fact, once we know this distribution in y equal to 0 plane, it's completely trivial to write down the complete solution because we just have to solve Laplace equation. So everything here, behind every picture here, there is a very explicit solution of the equations of motion. So. So now, when we saw, as we saw that there is the probably some relation between phase space of harmonic oscillator and our plane y equal to 0, let's try to make it a little bit more quantitative for a more generic state. So let's first discuss the topology of our solutions. So suppose we have some solution like this. So here I'm drawing y direction going this way, and x1, x2 plane is this plane. So in this plane, suppose we have some configuration of green and some configuration of white. Then one can show that in this particular geometry there are two non-contractible 5 spheres. How to show this? So suppose we take some contour in this green region here. So this is a red contour here. And then we go into y not equal to 0 and construct some cup over this contour. So this is supposed to be a cup over this red contour. So above all each point on this cup, we put one of the S3s. And namely, we put such S3 which goes to zero size in this green region. So even though this cup looks like an open cup because it has this boundary red line in the green region, in fact, this space is topologically S5. And the reason is because it's five-dimensional everywhere near these points, but at what seemed to be a boundary of this space, the sphere S3 goes to zero size. So the whole space becomes just topologically S5. Likewise, if we take this black contour in the white region and construct some cup over it and put over each point the other sphere, we again get some space which is topologically S5. So the different topologies the different topologies in y equal to 0 plane would characterize various non-contractible spheres. Just to illustrate, maybe in this picture it seems not very obvious, but just as an illustration, let's look at ADS5 crosses 5. In ADS5 crosses 5, we know that there is one non-contractible sphere S5. On the other hand, if you look at this picture, you see that you can construct only one cup on this picture. So you have to take contour in this black, in this white region, and then you have to construct a cup over it. So this S5 is precisely that S5 with which would arise generically here. But now, of course, there are more possibilities because we could have various topologies in y equal to 0 plane. So now we have some surfaces which are topologically S5 and they're not contractible. But we also have five-form field strength. So it's reasonable to look at the fluxes of these five-form field strengths over these non-contractible five-dimensional surfaces. And once we look at these fluxes, we observe a very interesting relation. So suppose we want to compute a flux of five-form over this red cup. By the time we compute it, so this is just a B field which we introduce. This is some parameterization of five-form field strength. But one should look at this formula, which is just a flux over this red surface, and then perform the integration. By the time we will perform an integration, obviously the flux should not depend on where we put this red contour in, as long as it is inside the green region. It can never go inside the white region, because in the white region, the sphere does no longer shrink to zero size, so topologically the space will no longer be S5. However, the flux which we measure, which is on the left-hand side, by the time we compute it, it will be very simply related to the area of white region inside. So the flux is just equal to area of this white region divided by some power of Planck constant. Also, if you want to compute the flux over this black cup, then we will see that this flux would be equal precisely to the area of the green region. So this is very reminiscent of the of what we would expect for the harmonic oscillator. Because if you want to identify this space with phase space of harmonic oscillator, if you compute the area, we're essentially computing the number of fermions. On the other hand, the number of the flux here is essentially like a number of D3 brains, and it should be identified with number of fermions. So this is one of the computations in the support of relation between phase space and y equal to zero plane, but we can go further than that. So, for example, we can look at various higher moments. Here I presented only the computation of the simple possible moment where we compute the energy of the configuration. So suppose we take some configuration and we compute its energy from the point of view of gravity. So when we compute the energy from the point of view of gravity, we essentially go to infinity, we compute the usual ADM mass or angular momentum, which is the same in this case, and we want to express everything will be expressed in terms of the L Planck. But let us for a moment introduce an effective Planck's constant such that 2 pi times L Planck to the fourth is equal to effective h bar. So this formula is actually a gravity formula where this substitution was made. So we just introduce formally this h bar. But if we do it, we look at this gravity formula and we see that it is precisely the formula which we would expect from the harmonic oscillator. Because this first term is an energy of the harmonic oscillator and this second term is the energy of the ground state. So we take the energy of the harmonic oscillator and we subtract the energy of the ground state. This is what we would expect ADM mass to measure because we essentially measure the mass compared to mass of ADS5 crosses 5. And ADS5 crosses 5 is like a ground state of the harmonic oscillator. So now we saw that there is a very nice relation between the there is a very nice map between the phase space of the harmonic oscillator and the y equal to zero plane in our geometries. So if one starts from some half BPS geometry, which is described in terms of this Fermi liquid, one can immediately construct the corresponding gravity state, gravity solutions for this state. And as I said, these by construction, these gravity solutions are completely regular. They do not have any singularities, and they also do not have horizons. How much time do I have? Okay. So let me then, in the remaining time, briefly mention that the similar analysis could be repeated for 11-dimensional supergravity. So in 11-dimensional supergravity, like in type 2b supergravity, we're again looking for supersymmetric solutions, and we're looking for solutions which are half BPS. As I showed you some number of transparencies ago, the typical representative of half BPS states are the giant gravitons, and the giant gravitons in M theory have symmetry which is SO6 cos SO3. So then we can just go ahead and repeat all the computations we did for type 2b case, and we'll end up again with some metric and also some field strength, which I'm not writing down here, and everything is parameterized in terms of the single function d. So like before, everything was parameterized in terms of the single function z. Here everything will be parameterized in terms of the single function d, which is a function of three variables, y and two x's. So this function d, however, now satisfies more complicated equation than Laplace equation. And this equation is known as three-dimensional Todd equation, like this. So I should stress that here what we did was we just imposed this symmetry and we imposed supersymmetry. And everything else came out. So there was no ansatz which was input by hand. So again, we have this three-dimensional Todd equation, but again, we should worry about possible singularities. Possible singularities could happen if either five-dimensional sphere or a two-dimensional sphere go to zero size, and one can see that there is some combination of their radii, which is again equal to y. So again, the bad points are the points where y equal to zero, and at those points, it turns out that we have to impose following condition. If a two-dimensional sphere goes to zero size, then we should impose the Neumann boundary condition of this function d. Its y derivative should vanish. If a five-dimensional sphere goes to zero size, then this condition should be Dirichlet, and the this d should essentially behave like log y as we approach y equal to zero plane. So everything else is exactly the same as we had for type 2B solutions. We again, the whole plane is separated into two kinds of regions. In one case, we have in one region we have this condition. In another case, we have the other condition. And we should also impose appropriate boundary conditions at infinity so that space asymptotes to ADS 4 crosses 7 or ADS 7 crosses 4. Of course, in the last case, writing this picture and imposing the boundary conditions at infinity fixed the solution uniquely, and moreover, we were able to write it very explicitly in terms of the Green's functions. Here, we don't know how to solve equation with these boundary conditions. We believe that once we specify this condition, the solution is unique, but we have no proof of that. So, so in this M-theory case, we don't have much to say because we don't know how to solve this nonlinear ATODA equation. However, we cannot construct new solutions, but what we can do is we can check whether the usual solutions satisfy these equations, and if they do, what kind of boundary conditions we get. So here I'm just recycling this old transparency. If you look at ADS 7 crosses 4 background, then we will see it write it in these coordinates. Then we see that in this ATODA equation, we have Dirichlet boundary condition inside this circle and Norman boundary condition outside. And for PP wave, we have a Dirichlet boundary condition in half plane and Norman boundary condition in another half plane. So, so this is all fine, but it looks like we just took the known solutions and we recast it in the new form. Now the question is, can we construct anything non-trivial? We definitely cannot construct, we're not able to construct anything non-trivial by solving ATODA equation. However, there is a way around it, because we can construct some solutions looking at seven-dimensional supergravity. Namely, what one has to do is to look at M-theory, which is defined on S4, and so this S4 is deformed, then as usual one gets gauge supergravity in seven dimensions. This gauge supergravity was introduced 20 years ago, and it has a scalar coset, it has gauge field, and it has five different three forms. And then on these solutions we want to impose following, we want to construct solutions of this gauge supergravity with the following conditions. First of all, we want SO6 cross SO3 symmetry, because this is symmetry of half BPS states, which we would expect. But we also want the solutions to be regular. There is a solution with so-called half BPS black hole solution, which has this symmetry group, which was constructed by Liu and Minasian. But this is not good for our purposes because it's a black hole. So in particular, by the time it's lifted to 11 dimensions, it will have some singularity somewhere. And this is not, as I said, we're looking for half BPS states, so we don't want the singularities. However, fortunately, the ansatz was too restrictive. So we want SO6 cross SO3 symmetry. There is additional U1 which will arise just from the supersymmetry. As I showed you, if you have supersymmetry, you all necessarily have a Killing vector. So this U1 is essentially symmetry which corresponds to translation along the Killing vector. But Liu and Minasian also imposed this additional SO2 symmetry. And imposing this symmetry immediately led to black hole solution. Since we don't want a black hole and we want regular solution, we should drop this SO2 from the ansatz. So then what we do is to just look start from the equations of seven-dimensional supergravity, impose this symmetry, then we will see what kind of fields will be excited, and we can solve everything to the end. Unfortunately, the solution does not look very nice, but these solutions can be... So starting from that solution, we can do coordinate change to our coordinates, and we can see that the regular so first of all, the regular solution exists, and also it gives us an explicit form of this e to the d. So by using the gauge supergravity, we have constructed a new solution of ATODA equation, which leads to completely regular geometry. Okay, so now we have this large class of solutions. Can we compare them with something which was known in the literature? So the one thing to compare with is n equal to 2 superconformal field theories. So for n equal to 2 superconformal field theories, the dual theory should have, so the theory has 16 supercharges, and the dual theory should have, gravity solution should have these symmetries. This is very reminiscent of the symmetries which I was just showing on the previous slide. SO2 essentially the same as SO3, but SO4,2 is not quite SO6. However, one can go into another by using double analytic continuation. Essentially, what one has to do is to start from an 11-dimensional solution which I was presenting and replace a 5-dimensional sphere by 5-dimensional idea space like that. Also, under this replacement, it appears that time coordinate becomes, so coordinate T, which was time like before, now becomes space-like. And in the end, we get solution with right signature, but instead of SO6 symmetry, it would have SO4, 2 symmetry. So, of course, once we do it, we can do it only locally, and generically, we would spoil the boundary conditions. And indeed, these solutions I give just an illustration that the boundary conditions should be changed once we do such analytic continuation. So, in particular, there was an example of this n equal to 2 superconformal theory, which was constructed by Maldacena and Nunes in 2000. And by the time we put it in our variables, this solution appeared to correspond to a very simple function e to the d. So this is very nice. Y equal to 0 plane, we would see that we indeed have, so the whole y equal to 0 plane has only Dirichlet boundary condition. It doesn't have Neumann anywhere. Sorry, other way around. It has only a Neumann boundary condition. It does not have Dirichlet anywhere. But there is some new property of this solution. Because so far, I was saying that we start from y equal to 0, and then we propagate in y and going all the way to y equal infinity. Now we see that it's not possible here. Because if y reaches a value of half, this e to the d goes to 0. So this is bad, because this e to the d is supposed to be some coefficient in the metric, and the metric becomes degenerate. However, this solution is still completely regular. And the reason is that what shrinks to zero size where e to the d goes to 0 is essentially the time direction. So if time direction goes to zero size, this is bad. But now, as I said, this direction becomes effectively space-like. So if we choose appropriate periodicity for this variable psi, then the space just ends where y equals to a half. So this solution will be completely regular. However, y would go only from 0 to half. And this is just an illustration that once we do analytic continuation, we get the same solution locally, but the global conditions will be completely different. Also, there was some nice solutions with M2 brain with mass deformation, and constructed by Brenner and Warner. And we can recover these solutions from our solutions. So to do it, we should start with some with 2D solutions with some additional isometry along x1 direction. So what we do is we start from solution like this. This solution has additional isometry here. So since it has this isometry, we can compactify this direction and do t-duality on that direction. So we do t-duality, we go up to A, then we lift it to 11 dimensions, we get M-theory, and then we precisely would recover the Brenner and Warner solutions. However, there is one advantage of doing it the way we did, because even though locally it is the same as Brenner-Warner solution, in their case they did not know how to make solution regular. On the other hand, from our case, we start with solution which is regular. And just to show you that it is a little this regularity condition is non-trivial in their language, I should mention that our variable, our function was z. And this z had to take value half and a minus a half. If it takes any other values in the plane, y equal to 0 plane, solution is singular. However, for Brenner and Warner, there was a harmonic function h. And the harmonic function h is related to this function z in this very non-trivial way. So this is a very non-local relation. And the simple condition of function z would lead to very complicated condition on the function h. And this is the reason why they did not identify these regular geometries. Also, there is some nice relation between these dielectric M5 brains and Young tableaus. I probably don't have time to go into it in detail. But essentially, what happens is that for solutions with additional isometry along x1, the whole y equal to 0 plane will look like a set of strips. And these strips can be easily mapped into the Young tableaus by the following construction. So if we have some big Young tableau, we basically select some region here. This region is in red. And then the green strip would correspond to going along this line in Young tableau, and white strip would correspond to go along another line. And This is interesting that the classical solutions are the one where these regions are big enough. So in fact, we will have young tableau with very well-defined edges. So this, for example, should be contrasted to a melting crystal picture where classical geometry would correspond to something with edges smoothed out. And the asymptotic geometry of this solution is ADS7×S4 as it should be. So let me summarize what I said. So the goal of this talk was to construct the geometries which are dual to chiral primaries, and on the general grounds of ADS-CFT, we expect that these solutions would not have singularities or they would not have horizons. And we have succeeded in finding such solutions in two cases. In type 2B theory, we constructed all half BPS gravity solutions. The problem reduced to solving some three-dimensional Laplace equation with very simple boundary conditions. Moreover, these boundary conditions correspond to the phase space of the free fermions, so there is a very clear map between the field theory states and the solutions on the supergravity side. Also, because this is Laplace equation, solution can be constructed very explicitly in terms of integrals once the boundary conditions are known. I have also discussed some properties of fluxes and topologies, and in particular, these fluxes as well as some higher moments were used in order to identify the phase space of harmonic oscillator with y equal to zero plane. The similar exercise was done for half BPS solutions of 11-dimensional supergravity. There, instead of three-dimensional Laplace equation, we ended up with three-dimensional Toda equation, which we don't know how to solve. However, we do know what boundary conditions this Toda equation should obey. So the only problem is that we cannot construct solutions explicitly. All known examples like ADS and PP wave indeed go into such ansatz, and the pictures at y equal to zero plane are very similar to the picture for type 2B theory. And finally, we have constructed the completely new regular solutions by solving equations of gauge supergravity, and it also fits into this Toda ansatz. And the future direction, one can study various properties of new geometries, and also one can study geometries with fewer supersymmetries. Thank you.
David?
So I have a question about mm-hmm. the possible alpha prime corrections to these geometries. So in the case of ADS5×S5, uh-huh. you can prove that there are no alpha prime corrections.
Right.
It's an exact solution to Lorentz
right.
alpha prime.
So I don't know any argument that these solutions are exact solutions of a sigma model, for example. So I think in general they would probably acquire some alpha prime corrections. But the point is that you start from some regular solution in supergravity, then it acquires alpha prime corrections. So it would be modified solutions. But you would not expect alpha prime corrections to make regular solutions singular. So the solution itself would be slightly different. It would be alpha prime dependent. But once this solution was regular, the one which you end up after taking into account alpha prime corrections would also be regular.
It's a very similar question. So, certainly, even so, you don't have any singularities, the curvature will become quite large in string units in some of your solutions, right? At least those where
right.
you isolated
right.
B brains close to the
right.
difference.
So,
is there some easy way to see from these green-white pictures, the pictures at the y equals zero plane, to read off a condition which geometries get large curvatures
yes.
and geometries are very smooth?
Yeah, thank you very
large.
Much. This is a very good question. So, what happens on this y equals to zero is that. So you have, say, this big droplet, and then you have some smaller droplets. So if the radius of these smaller droplets reaches some size which is of order Planck, say, then the curvature will be. So basically, the scale of the curvature is essentially the scale of these droplets. So when these droplets become small, the curvature becomes high. But formally, these solutions are completely regular in supergravity approximation. But as you're saying, for some of them, even though they're regular, you would not trust supergravity approximation at those points.
Awesome. You want to ask a question? Okay, so.
In the 11-dimensional supergravity context, you talked about asymptotically ADS7×S4 solutions. Can you do the same thing for ADS4×S7?
Yes. So it was for both cases. The point is that you had these green regions and white regions. So if you take a green region as a circle and white region which is outside, then it's asymptotically ADS7×S4. And if it's other way around, it's ADS4×S7. Yeah, I should probably also mention that how do you determine asymptotics? So suppose you have, say, in type 2B case, suppose you have these green regions, and suppose all these green regions can be surrounded by some big circle. So if they're all in the finite finite points in y equal to zero plane, then space will be asymptotic radius 5 crosses 5. But for example, PP wave is not like that, because it's half filled and it's half empty. So then it changes asymptotic boundary conditions.
So I just wanted to make a comment on your answer too.
Uh-huh.
So it seems that the regions where the curvature will be large is close to those little dots.
Yeah.
But there the solution will look like, again, ADS 5 to this 5, because it's...
Not for small dots.
No, doesn't it correspond to a giant
gravity? I mean, it would look like ADS 5 crosses 5, but it's like ADS 5 crosses 5 for single brain. So if you take a single brain and you look at it formally, it looks like ADS 5 crosses 5, but it has a huge curvature. So you would not trust it. So ultimately, I mean...
The point I was trying to make is that ADS 5 crosses 5, even for small radius, is an exact solution. So I don't know if you can use that.
Right, but... You usually don't talk about ADS 5 crosses 5 if you have single D3 brain. So if you take a single D3 brain, formally you can probably extrapolate ADS 5 crosses 5 to n equal to 1, but it doesn't have much of a meaning.
I had one more question to understand its geometries a little better. In the ADS 5 times S 5 case, is there an easy way to see where this y equals 0 plane is? Can you draw this in any way, or is this just sitting there in some very convoluted
frame? It's not quite simple. So what happens is, you see, you have these three spheres, which is one of the sphere on ADS and another sphere which is inside S5. So at this point, the sphere on S5 shrinks to zero size. So here we stay only at y equal to zero plane. But then here the sphere which is inside S5 shrinks to zero size. And here the sphere which is inside ADS5 shrinks to zero size. So this y equal to zero plane, it somehow mixes ADS5.
It's some very strange embedding, this 10 dimensional space.
Right.
There's no easy.
Yeah. No. There is no split on ADS and S.
In this plane of green and white, what does a corner correspond to, or a cusp?
Okay, so the corner, at this point, this function z, which I was talking about, is discontinuous. But on the other hand, what you can show that near each point on this corner, the space is locally like PP wave. So this is what I was showing. I was showing a circle, and then I say, let's zoom in near a point. But this, for that, it didn't matter that we had a circle. So near that point is essentially like a Penrose limit, and it's completely universal. So any kind of droplet you take, you go near this point, you zoom in, and you will see this local PP wave geometry.
I think the question was about a cusp. So what if you have some angle?
Sorry. Well, but again, formally you could have such solutions. The problem is that near this cusp, again, the curvature would be large. But as a formal solution, it still exists. And as a formal solution, the curvature never goes to infinity, even near this cusp.
You're basically saying that the cusps don't actually exist, right? You can think of a cusp as a limit of a series of small
solutions.
Right. But it's just the limit is not, the cusp itself is not a solution, or is it?
Well, it is a solution. I mean, if it's a limit, you have a linear equation. You take a limit, it's still a solution. At the point of cusp itself, there's probably some new singularity which we have not analyzed, but...
Okay, let's thank the speaker again. Thank you.